The Makos are referred to by many different terms. They're referred to as Makos, Magephos, Ososai, and the multiplicity of terms indicates that they're very layered and that each of these events far transcends Makos. And I've spoken about this many times, not to even refer to them as plagues, because that terminology is very entrapping and very narrowing. And there's moral messages, and there's theological messages, and of course there's punitive elements. And they're not just directed at the Egyptians, they're directed at Am Yisrael to restore certain national identities. And one of the more iconic Makos is Arbe. And it's very visual and graphic. Imagine swarms of locusts completely devouring and decimating the land of Egypt and bringing the Egyptians literally to their knees and reducing any source of national pride. You can't read Sefer Shmos in a vacuum. It has to be read in light of Sefer Bereishis. In Sefer Bereishis, the Egypt's rise to power is predicated on their ability to feed an entire planet, and now they can't even feed themselves. And really, Barad and Arba are a double, are tandem Makkah. And the Arba also reflect an army, Chelia Gadol, based on the Pesukim in Yoel, which describe the Arba infestation. And it's a wake-up call for the Jewish people to see themselves as civil sai, based on the Pesukim in the end of Parshas Bo. But there's a Medrash that has a lesser-known message of Arba, and it's intriguing to start thinking in those terms. The Medrash says as follows, Hinani mevi machar Arba bigvu lecha. So the term Gvul appears regarding the Mak of Arbe, where it doesn't really appear regarding the other Makos. V'lo b'gvul b'necham. But the Arbe won't afflict the Gvul of b'necham. Okay, so b'necham are the children of Noach's son who was cursed. We typically associate that with Africa. And the Arbe will afflict Mitzrayim, and they won't afflict the rest of Africa. So first of all, there's a demonstration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis. And you would expect the Arba to be limited only by perhaps oceans or the very least mountain ranges. And Africa is by and large a fairly flat peninsula. And there's no real reason the Arba should be halted once they reach the boundaries of Mitzrayim. So it's another demonstration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis. V'alzeh ne'amar kotz pasuk in Yeshaya ki kasher mishpatech al aretz tzedek lamdu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides judgment for the actual Aretz, for the land itself. So now the land is being demarcated. And to conclude this, the Medrash writes, Makas HaArba hikiru at hechan gvul Mitzrayim. That Makas Arba had a cartographic element to it. Namely, the Egyptians were able to discern what their boundaries were. Since the Arba didn't exceed the boundaries of Mitzrayim, they were able to see a clearly demarcated boundary by where the Arba entered and where they didn't enter. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing Mishpat La'aretz, he's a cartographer or a land assessor, and helping the Egyptians determine their boundaries. I think the purpose of this is that, independent of the Jewish issue and the enslavement and bondage of the Jews, the Egyptians were a rising force, and they represented the humanity at its strongest and its most powerful, so there's a certain cultural geist or cultural tone that Egypt captures. And part of that is very ambitious and greedy territorially. They wanted to conquer other lands, and they had natural enemies, and they projected or caricatured the Jews as forming league with those enemies, and that's part of the propaganda which they spread about the Jews. And they weren't just concerned with their hold on Egypt, they're also, as any rising power, interested in territorial conquest, especially since, as I said before, the land of Africa was theirs to be had. The land of Cham was theirs to be had. Now, if the Egyptians are going to expand territorially, they only really have two choices. They can either expand southerly to the rest of B'nei Cham, or they can expand northeasterly into Israel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was setting certain boundaries. It's not just a Jewish message about the inviolate nature of Israel as a land, that it shouldn't be conquered by a foreign entity, but it's about a moral message to the Egyptians to be satisfied with the land they need and the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered to them, rather than constantly be itching to conquer more land and greater land. And the irony is that they can't even because the Arba limit the Egyptian territorial aspirations on the one hand by setting the boundary, and on the other hand, of course, by decimating the land of Egypt. And now they've got to begin from scratch. They've got to retill the land, and you can't really expand until your food supplies are established. And at this point, the Egyptian food supplies are not extinct, and they've got more domestic issues to worry about than territorial expansion. So it's important to see the Makos not just as punitive or theological, but as delivering basic moral messages about individual experience, and in this case, by national experience and the dangers of national greed and territorial ambitions.